obviously this is always probably one of the toughest, you know, emotional days, you know, and you put in all the hard work and you go out there and you play a season, and then you are fortunate enough to play, you know, the second half of the season, and you go to the playoffs, and you know, you play so hard, and you know, these guys have come so close, and you know, and you walk around, and you know, there's really not a lot of conversation, you know. It's just kind of a look, and you look in someone's eyes, and you're like, gosh, you know, so close, and everyone's, you know, feeling the same way. And then, you know, you walk in the locker room, and you know, you can see the players cleaning their lockers, you know, and I guess what you feel is, you know, it's, you know, the end, you know. And it's sad. It's you know, I said in the beginning, I really thought that, you know, this team could be special. You know, privately I said that to them in the beginning. You know, obviously that's not anything I came out and said, you know, publicly. And it was just a feel of, you know, the chemistry, and you know, from a standpoint of, for me personally, from ownership to management with Tom and Dave, to the coaches, the coordinators and coaches, to the players. You know, you just felt like, you know, everybody was in sync, you know, of what we wanted to accomplish. And, you know, when you come so close and you know it's right there and you have the ability to take it, and, you know, there's plays in the game, you know, where you have the ability to make it to get you to the game, you know, it's tough. And even when you come back, and we came back last night, and you know we had a ton of fans here, and you know, and the support of them, at the end of the day, you just, you know, it just hurts even more, you know, that you feel like you've let, I know personally, I feel like, you know, I've let so many people down, you know, and what you do. And but I do know that, you know, throughout this year, that, you know, I know I became, you know, not only a better coach, I became a better person, you know what I'm saying, by all the people that I've been surrounded with, whether it's, you know, have been our fans, whether it's been you here at the media or I got to watch. I always say that, you know, it's the Bronx. An A is always an R, you know what I'm saying, at the end of it. My wife has been trying to correct me for years, and I just self-corrected, so I think I'm on the right track. But, you know, that's where we are. It's hard for me to stand up here and put a smile on my face and, you know, and go back and say this and that. Like I said, it does take a lot out of you. You know, when you fall short. But, you know, you guys know me. I'll answer anything that you guys have, and we'll take as much time as we need.
When do you think the shock wears off?
You know, I think a lot of times it's probably after the Super Bowl, and you kind of immerse yourself in, you know, free agency and draft and combine. But there's always that constant reminder of, you know, hey, you guys did a good job. Or we could have gotten more. You know, we wanted more. You know, we wanted more, and we knew that, you know, we had the ability to do it in our hearts. And that's what hurts. If you feel lucky, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel like, oh gosh, we were lucky, you know, to get where, you know, or, oh gosh, that was unbelievable, you know, and maybe you don't feel like you've earned that right in some capacity, you know, then I think you can let it go quicker. But when you feel like you've earned it, you were there, you feel you're good enough, you feel all those things, you know, then I think it's on every individual. For me, you know, obviously, I mean, I still heard from 2006. You know, when we lost the championship game, you know, when I think about it, it hurts. That's the one thing that, you know, is very difficult to do. The words that you put into your mind is going to affect the way you feel emotionally, you know. And when I think about, you know, when I think about, you know, yesterday, you know, those those words are going to come back to me of what could I have done better, you know, and things of that nature. And that same type of emotion comes out again. So it's very difficult to manage that within yourself.
Doug, when you think about any regrets that you might have when you look at the tape from yesterday, where does a not going back to Corey Grant after he had three catches for 59 yards fall? Where does 3rd and 18 fall?
Yeah. You know, it's the same thing. You know, Corey's catches were, you know, on some of the read stuff, you know, to try to get it out there. You know, we thought that they switched some things up, trying to take it away a little bit, forcing us to hand it rather than do that. That's a run-pass option for us. You know, the 3rd and 18 is obviously unfortunate. When you look at some of the things that we were trying to get accomplished, you know, in the game from a standpoint of, you know, third downs, which we, you know, really, if you look at it, you know, we did a good job of it, but we didn't do enough of. And you can look right at that 3rd and 18 play. Same with us offensively. We did a very good job, time of possession, staying on the field. But, you know, I believe in that fourth quarter or somewhere in the second half, we were 0-for-5. You know what I'm saying? And we couldn't maintain that. I think when you look at, you know, time of possession, which we wanted to make sure that we had, we were able to do that. Limit them from the amount of yardage that they had, which was like 375, you know, which they had under that. You know, obviously we lost from the penalty category. We lost in the points category. You know, and we lost in the field position category, which was probably the major one, you know what I'm saying, in the game. But I think all of us, when you go back, you know, you're not going to stand up here if you're worth your salt and say, well, I would have done everything the same way. You know, you obviously keep going back and you keep looking at different situations of, you know, I wish we could have done this or could have done that. And that's easy to do. But, you know, like I always try to tell the coaches and everything, we'll look at it and try to learn from it just like we do any other game. But going into the game, you know, we knew exactly what we wanted to do and we knew we were going to have to make some adjustments. So I think it's one of those things. You know, you stand up here and, you know, someone will say, you know, well, coach said they wish they could have done things differently, you know what I'm saying, or is second-guessing yourself or anything of that nature. You know, we felt that we've had the right plan. We had everything going. You know, we didn't execute at times or they executed better than we did, you know. But it was a hard-fought battle, and, you know, you look back and, you know, of course you're going to, you know, wish you did things, you know, some things differently or try to help in some way. But when you look back at the beginning and what you were trying to get accomplished, you wouldn't have done that.
When you look at those numbers,
Jalen was pretty critical after the game about the zone coverage in the second half. I mean, what went into the whole, you know, deciding how you're going to handle the pass defense?
Well, I think that's just a lot of, you know, that's frustration. You know what I'm saying? I think that happens a lot. You know, I don't. You know, I always say the same thing to players. If, you know, they know exactly what should be going on out there. They know exactly how we should be playing some things. So, you know, sometimes after a game, you know, my experience has been when players say that, you know, it's just frustration. And then when you go back up to them, they're like, oh, I get it. You know, I know about it. So, you know, our players are pretty good with communicating with us. You know what I'm saying? If they're, you know, truly frustrated with something they do, you know, they did a nice job. I will say this during the game after that first drive, we didn't have something in the plan, and we thought we were going to play something one way and be able to play it well. And you know, we had some other issues, you know, with it. And immediately the defensive coaches and the defensive players, you know, were like, hey, listen, we've got to go to this, which we were able to put in and stop something. So the communication with the coaches and the players are fine. So that's how I look at it, you know, when it goes down to that.
That game played out, though, sort of how you guys had planned it. I mean, if we put those numbers in front of you in the fourth quarter, even today, and you look at these numbers, in a way you got to be scratching your head. Obviously, you tip your cap to what Brady was able to do. But
yeah, I mean, they're a very difficult team to beat. Like I said before, you know, you're looking at someone that's been beaten by them, you know, quite a bit or more than I've won. So, you know, and having played them, you know, there, you know, in Gillette Stadium and having, you know, gone against those coordinators and that team, you know, at least for me, you know, I believe, you know, there's a certain way that you have to play to beat them. You know, obviously you got to play well in all three phases, but you know, there's some marks that you have to go by to give you a chance. And I thought for us being able to hit some of those numbers, when you look at it, you know, it still gave us an opportunity to win. And at the end of the day, you know, we just didn't execute as well as they did.
Two more situations.
Sure.
First half, you mentioned the delay of game, which hasn't been a problem for you guys this year.
Right.
Talking to Nate Blake, was the play Blake getting in? Huddle Blake getting in?
No, I think it was, you know, I think it was just a lapse on our part of it was after a timeout and went in there and we just figured that, you know, once we called the play and broke the huddle that we were fine and then they started the clock earlier than we anticipated, which, you know, they have the right to do. So I don't think it was, you know, playing late or anything. It was just a lapse of, you know, taking something for granted. I mean, I really believe that.
Timeout.
Yeah, whatever.
And then follow up, get it with 55 seconds left in the first half, two timeouts.
Yeah.
What sort of the thinking that two knees would make?
Well, I thought that, you know, from what they do coverage-wise and what we had to do and we had the lead and they had just scored, I just didn't want to give them, you know, I didn't want to put ourselves in a position, you know, that's not – I wanted to get in the game leading at halftime. I didn't think it was a great, you know, a situation that we've been great at, you know, a lot during the year. I thought that the risk and reward for us, you know, at that moment in time was, hey, let's go in and make our adjustments. You know, let's get ourselves going, and let's take this lead in at halftime. That's exactly how I thought, right or wrong.
What, if anything, did Blake prove to you or this organization by what he did in the postseason?
I mean, I don't think he has anything to prove, you know, to me. You know, I'm talking about, I say the same thing about him, you know, his toughness and all the other stuff that I've, you know, I don't think a lot of people can go through what he's gone through, you know what I'm saying, and still have the same, you know, work ethic and way to go about his business, you know, without seemingly, from my standpoint, having any effect, you know, and that's basically what he's done, you know what I'm saying. So, you know, I think it's the same thing. I haven't, you know, looked at the bulk of anything yet, you know, things of that nature. And I'm sure that, you know, we'll go through that, you know, within the next couple of days, you know, once we try to get our focus, you know, back into those type of things. It's hard to shift from, you know, we're human beings. So, you know, I always found it interesting, you know, is after, you know, after you get done and then boom, you shift to, you know, this whole look, you know what I'm saying, where you got to take everything in. You know, I'm not prepared to do that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know it's my job and I have to do it, but, you know, I'm not prepared to do that, nor do I think any of our coaches are prepared to do that because, you know, like I said before, the amount of energy and emotion you put into these plans and things, you know, it's tough. Now, we know we have to do it. I'm not complaining or doing anything of that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there'll be a point, but, you know, I like to, you know, get this kind of over, get it all out of my mind, and then try to take a different look on everything as a whole rather than just concentrating on what just happened.
On that point, then, let me ask you a question that probably flies in the face of that, which is what kind of, you know, important milestones do you feel happened this year that laid the foundation, you know, for this team? What are the
things? I think, you know, I'm going to talk to the team. I haven't spoken to the team yet. You know, I think, you know, what I'm going to talk to the team about is, you know, one, you know, I've learned a lot from the team too. You know, I know I have personally, and I want to make sure that they understand that. But, you know, the foundation of the chemistry that they've had, the work ethic, the grit, you know, that we talked about from the beginning, you know, those are the things that, you know, when we start again, we want to make sure, you know, that you have that. But I've always said this, and it's very difficult. You know, everyone's like, okay, hell, this is where this team has ended. Gosh, there's so many great things going on, you know, and then everyone gets all excited and hey, but you really have to start. And I'll say this again, you have to start from the beginning. You have to start, you don't, you know, people say the culture's changed and all that stuff, and now they have a foundation. Well, I've seen, I've been part of places that we've made mistakes before where we've taken that for granted, that you have that. You can't do that as a coach. So for me, it'll, when we really start, it'll be going back and building on those fundamentals, you know, because, you know, the team fluctuates and changes, you know, and you have to, you know, be able to start and build that foundation from the bottom up. Now, if there's a lot of people that have come back and everyone's bought in, that foundation, you can, it'll go a little bit quicker, you know what I'm saying? But you still can't. The worst thing that can happen is to say, hey, we're going to go ahead, and all of a sudden you find out, you know, at the end of the day, there's a crack somewhere in that foundation. The rest of the work doesn't matter.
A lot of that's about the leaders, though, right?
Sure.
I mean, the veteran leaders, the guys who have made a difference, they're, that they're
see,
coming
we'll
back.
We'll see. I mean, we have some guys that have grown, you know what I'm saying? I think, like, you know, some of the younger players, you know, Miles Jack, you know, has done a nice job in growing. It, you know, there's a lot of young players that are still, you know, growing as good football players and people that have, you know, an impact in the locker room. Those things, I've always said this before, are things that occur within that locker room. I can't sit here and say, you know, hey, Gene, when you go in that locker room, I want to make sure you tell those guys this is what we're doing and let's go. You know what I'm saying? That has to come from within the team. And that takes time, and that takes time together, and that takes communication.
Is that probably going to be one of your challenges with OTAs start, that guys may assume, hey, we can pick up where we left off. You may have to say, last year was fine, but it doesn't mean anything now.
Again, that's down the road, but, you know, that's something that, you know, I'll obviously, if I make that point here now in front of you, that will be a major point, you know, for me, you know, of, you know, we're starting, here's where we go.
Follow up on Bortles, from game one to game 19, what steps did he take to encourage you about his future?
Yeah, I that's a whole type of picture again. You know, I'd really, Ryan, really have to just take a step back and look at it. I don't think I'm in the best mindset to talk to about any of our players from that standpoint, you know what I'm saying, of what's going on. I mean, I'm happy for all of our players. You know, I'm happy for all of their contributions and what they've done. You know, now it's a matter of just, you know, taking a step back and giving myself some time and look at things as a whole.
Still, he went from essentially being a preseason game away from maybe losing his job to trading blows with the best of all time yesterday. I mean, did that surprise you in any way from 5 months ago to yesterday?
No, because it's a team sport. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, when you talk about it's our team. It's not on one person. I mean, that's how we played all year. We played as a team. You know, the defense did a really good job during the year. Offensively, at points, we did an excellent job. I mean, at the end of the day, when you look at it, you know, you have a top 10 defense, a top 10 offense. You know, obviously, there was a lot of good things, but I do believe that, it's the team aspect of it, you know, that put us in those categories or given us that success. It wasn't just, you know, one person.
Hey, Doug, did the refs botch the Miles Jack play? Should they not blow the whistle? Should they let that play out? That's happened to you a few times.
It's about the fourth one we've had, right, this year. Yeah, I don't, you know, I mean, that's a good question to ask them. You know, I mean, I thought they try to let plays go. I mean, that's what I was assuming. But you know that when you assume, you know, it makes an ass out of you and me.
You alluded to the sort
right?
of.
That's a good one. You haven't used that this
year. you know who the first guy. This is true. I had probably one of the greatest assistant coaches to ever coach this game, and he has passed, with a gentleman by the name of John Sandusky. Now, John was a player. He played for Cleveland. He was with Coach Shula, you know, and took over from Monty Clark. When Monty Clark was Coach Shula's offensive line coach, and then when Monty Clark left, John Sandusky came in. And, you know, I was fortunate to be around him for 2 years in Miami. And he's someone that, you know, it was interesting. Coach Shula would go around to all the meeting rooms, you know, and make sure that, you know, everybody was, you know, being coached the way Coach Shula wanted it to be coached. But he never came into the O-line meeting. And I think that's because he trusted Coach Sandusky. And it's so interesting now when I look back at it, back, like right now we have like, you know, iPads and PowerPoints and, you know, but back in the day, you know, you got a playbook, but the playbook was about this big, okay? Now the playbooks are like this big, right? And, but John would go in there and he would talk, we didn't even look at a playbook. You had to have a notebook. You put up everything, the fronts and everything, and you had to write everything down. You know what I'm saying? And I keep thinking, this is why I keep thinking about the kid, you know, the players now. I'm like, I don't know if they can handle, you know, handle that stuff now. You know what I'm saying? Because you had to work your butt off and go back and look at your notes and keep up. You know, he wasn't slowing down. And that was his big, you know, saying, you know, the assume thing. That was his big saying. And I remember, and those meetings were long and they were hard. I mean, that's back when we were going three times a day, you know, doubles and everything. I remember we had one player, you know, so that's where, you know, you're trying to stay awake. I mean, I know people would be like, that's their job, they should, but I'm telling you, when your body is beat to crap, you know, during doubles back in those days, I'll never forget. No one could ever get John. Like, John was, he's been through everything and done it. So one day we had a player in the front of the room, and he's kind of leaning, and Coach Sandusky asked him a question, and he didn't answer. So his eyes were closed. He's like, well, okay, so-and-so, it's going to cost you, you know, because you get fined, you know what I'm saying, for falling. He's like, well, oh, that's going to cost you. And I'll never forget the players in the front of the room. He said, excuse me, Coach, I was just saying a prayer. He's like, that's the first time someone's ever got me on that one. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I told our players, if you ever try to do that, that's not going to work. You know what I'm saying? When I was an assistant coach in our meetings. But, you know, he was a great football coach. And the assume part, that I had gotten that from him. So I want to credit him for that. Sorry about that long story, but it's a good story.
You touched on the somewhat unconventional triumvirate of you, Tom Coughlin, and Dave Caldwell kind of working together unusually compared to what most organizations do. Did it go as smoothly from the inside as it did on the outside? What did you guys kind of all learn from each other?
It's been fantastic. I mean, it really has. I mean, you can't, you know, a lot of times you get up here and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, everything's great. But, I mean, you know, and sometimes you don't know whether that person's telling the truth or not. Is that just a company line? But it's been better than that. I mean, you know, it's interesting when people said, you know, ooh, this is going to be unusual, like you said, and that was the perception of everyone. I was like, I didn't look at it that way. I looked at it as I thought, you know, this is how it began. You know, and I said this story before, is that, you know, college football, you know, a lot of times the coach would retire and become the athletic director. And then someone on his staff would, you know, take over that team. And that coach, that young coach, had that athletic director who's been the coach, you know, to lean on, to go to help, to support, which makes things even better because now from a standpoint of what you want to accomplish, you're accomplishing from different ends. You're accomplishing from it from the football program. And then, you know, in college you have everything else. You have, you know, marketing, merchandising, you know, you have everything. So it keeps everybody, you know, in line. So for me, and then especially with the relationship I had with Coach before, I couldn't be in a better situation. I can't speak for anyone else, but I can't speak for Tom and Dave. I hope they feel the same way about me, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I feel great about that.
Do you anticipate any staff changes on the coaching staff?
I haven't even thought about it, so I mean, it's not even on my mind right now.
Staff for about a year right now. What did you like about working with them and how they maybe challenged you?
I loved it. I mean, you know, we'll all say the same thing as coaches, you know, hey, this staff, we put in the time, we put in the work, but, you know, you have coaches that, you know, myself included, you know, we're staying here and doing whatever we have to do to help the team. You know, I credit the families of our coaches probably more so. You know, for the time that we've taken away from the family time, you know, we worked Saturdays, you know, last year. You know, to try – everything for us last year was, hey, okay, here we are, we're new. How do we catch up? You know, how do we catch up to all these teams that, you know, have been together or, you know, have the same staffs or have that stuff, you know? And then how do we get it to where we don't have to spend a lot of time amongst each other talking about how we want to do things – because when the players arrive, we just want to concentrate on getting the players better. So we spend a lot of time together. And sometimes, like you said, when you're dealing with, you know, 15 people or 16 people, you know, it can be difficult at times. I mean, I've seen that on staffs. I thought that this staff did a great job of teaching the systems that we wanted to have, what we wanted to do from a philosophical standpoint, the culture, the way we wanted the players treated, and then being able to communicate and support each other, you know what I'm saying, when we had gotten on the field or we were around our players. So I think from a standpoint of staff, I love the staff from a standpoint of how we communicate, how we get along, which is big. We may disagree on some things, all right, but obviously there's a chain of command where it goes where, you know, finally when everything's out there, everyone can speak, someone has to make a decision. And I think that's helped us. There's no hidden, you know, agenda. Hey, I want to get this play in, or I want to get this defense in. And then if Todd or Nate or Joe D doesn't want it, you know, that person doesn't get upset and say, what am I not, you know what I'm saying? They'll keep coming back to that stuff. Those are the things that you need, you know, on a staff that, you know, gives you the ability to keep growing and get better.
What is your message going to be for the players? What is your expectation for them between now and when you get back on the field?
After this meeting, I'm just going to go write some things down and really think about it. I'm one of those type of guys. I don't like saying, okay, you know, all right. I think the players know that I'm going to say, you know, what I feel, and it comes from my heart and what I believe.
You anticipate that given enough amount of time, you know, players like Calais and Telvin and all the other leaders will make sure that when it's time to come back, that this team will be galvanized by what happened yesterday and not, you know, letting it be a negative lingering.
These guys, I always say this about this team. I can't, you know, I don't know the answer to that question, but I'd be surprised if that's the way they were. You know what I'm saying? I would, personally, because it's just, you know, the way they go about their business. I would. But I think they can answer that, you know, question better. Me, I don't look at it like that, because I look at it as that part of the, you know, that chapter is over. Here's the beginning again. Let's build it again.
How much do you feel Blake benefited by being in the second year of Nate's system?
Oh, I've always believed in that with everybody. You know, it's, you know, the quarterback probably more so, you know what I mean, because of the responsibility that he has. But I see the same growth in, you know, even in Miles Jack, because obviously we changed things, you know, defensively of what we've done. So, you know, here's a young linebacker. You know, pretty much the secondary, you know, more of a veteran stuff. I seen the growth with the receivers, you know what I'm saying, as far as how, you know, the system has changed for them, you know what I'm saying, and what they're doing. I mean, we played with a lot of young guys that did a nice job. I'm excited about seeing them again being in it. And I think, you know, the more you can stay in it, and the more continuity you have, and then obviously it gives you a chance to be more productive.
When you
got a lot of follow-ups.
The most follow-ups.
That's all right.
When you look at the tape, you regret yesterday that Leonard didn't get the pop.
We didn't pop one, yeah.
Was that more a line thing, or was that more a running back?
No, they did a nice job. I mean, they had good, you know, we going in there taking the safeties, and they had the corner, you know, coming in there pretty good. We knew they were good tacklers. You know, we knew that going in. We talked to our players. We didn't feel like there were great big bumpers coming in and it hit you, but we knew that we can tackle. I thought, you know, we'd be able to get a little bit more spacing and break some of those. That's how my thought process was.
Across the board, you guys are statistically great, top 10, top 5 and some stuff, but was there an area where you just couldn't hit the mark and you kept working on it all year?
You know, I don't look at – what's funny is, like, I try to – I don't like to get into, and I probably apologize for bringing that stuff up, but, you know, I try to look at it from game to game the game of what we're trying to hit from game to game, and hoping that, you know, at the end when you look at the total of things, like I say before, like you're 50-50, you know what I'm saying, or you're in, you know, the top 10, you know, or your goal is to be in a position where I know my thought process in the beginning of the year, my goal is you want to be in a position where playoff teams are. So if you took, you know, all the playoff teams and you're like, hey, listen, if you average like 60% or above in touchdown efficiency in the red zone, you know, that's some of the common denominators of a playoff team, you know. So I think I'm kind of giving you two answers. One, I look for it individually for each game, you know what I'm saying, of what we want to hit. And then, you know, at the end, I just see, hey, where we're flowing, because that's going to affect my practice schedule. So if I feel like we're not doing well in an area, let's say if it's third down, then I'm gonna take more time in the practice schedule and work on that and not keep the practice schedule the same, because if you're keeping it the same, you know what I'm saying, how are you going to get better at something? If you're not working on something to get yourself better, you know, then how do you expect it out of the players? You know, but then it becomes that management of, okay, where are you stealing that time from? Well, it's probably from something that you're doing well, and can you maintain doing well there and still take that time and do that? And that's my job, you know what I'm saying, during the year, to go through that, to make sure that, you know, we're working on things that we're not doing well.
You touched on the number of young guys and the foundation, but do you think this thing is set up core-wise to have some sustainability going forward?
I mean, I'd love to stay up here and say, oh, yeah, absolutely, and all that stuff, but I never want to take anything for granted. I'm one of those guys, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you guys know me well enough. I'm like, you know, hey, listen, hey, we got a core, we're going to be good. You know, I'm the guy that, you know, likes to start, likes to build it, make sure there's no cracks. I may take a little bit more time than maybe somebody else to make sure that's right, you know, which kills, like, you know, my father-in-law, my wife, and everyone. I mean, it's just the same thing. If she tells me to clean, you know, the kitchen drawers, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm going in there, and I am going to be the best cleaner in the history of people that have cleaned. I'm going to clean the wood. I'm going to take a toothpick. I'm going to go down the sides of it, make sure there's no crumbs or anything in the outside. You know, I mean, I'm psycho like that. So for me, you know, I've gotten better, you know, with the team, but I still go back to that beginning to make sure that I don't take anything for granted from anyone. And it's just worked for me that way.
Any serious injuries kind of yesterday at all?
Last one, no.
Not that I know of.
Okay.